Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, which just happens to be the setting of one of my favorite TV shows, Breaking Bad, is the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rob, and you nailed that one on the head. This is filmed in my hood, south of Albuquerque, and today we're talking about bromine, and if you notice in the credits of Breaking Bad or the intro, it's all about chemical symbols of the elements. So Br, bromine, is the symbol for breaking bad, and barium, BA, is the other one. So we're off on to bromine today, BR.
Okay, and for listeners who may not be familiar with the program, we encourage you to take a look at this because it's a dynamite show that will have you hooked. You're going to want to watch every episode out there. Concerning bromine, Mickey, it was first discovered, I believe, in the early 1800s. It's a halogen. Fill us in on the history of bromine and its properties.
It's number 35 on the periodic table. It's a halogen, 62nd most abundant element in the Earth's crust, so not real abundant, but it's quite soluble in seawater, so 65 parts per million in seawater. First discovered in 1825 by two chemists simultaneously, one in ash of seaweed, mm-hmm. and the other one from mineral springs in eastern Germany. The name bromine comes from the Latin, and it means stench, and it's a very acrid, fuming red-brown liquid at room temperature, and it's corrosive, reactive, extremely toxic. In fact, it has to be transported in steel tanks with lead liners. Does not occur free in nature, and like all the halogens, forms these colorless, soluble salt, mineral salts, which are of use to mankind.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the uses for bromine, Mickey, they really changed over the years, haven't they? I believe in the mid-60s or so, this was in huge demand as a gasoline additive, mm-hmm. no longer used in that area.
Not used very much, but it was so-called ethyl gasoline for high-performance motors. Was actually lead bromide, so it was exhausted to the atmosphere, and so environmental ramifications of that means it's no longer used much for that. Its historic use, though, was something that you and I probably knew of when we were kids, called bromo seltzer, and so it was a sedative, especially in the late 19th to early 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
It's still used to treat epilepsy. But the main uses are for fire retardants, specifically organobromine compounds in plastics. So fire retardants in plastics consume about 48% of the market. 11% is in dense well drilling fluids bonded with calcium and sodium and zinc. Organic chemistry manufacturing historically used very much in film photography. Still used somewhat in medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, it is still used in Mountain Dew, the world's first energy drink, as an emulsifier. So you can get your daily bromine kick by drinking a Mountain Dew and certainly lots of caffeine and sugar, too. And it's also used in hot tubs for purification because chlorine doesn't work well in hot tubs. Because it's broken down too easily.
Mm-hmm.
It was first used, I didn't quite know this, as indigo dye, which is a product of sea snails, and that was first used in the first century A.D.
Sea snails?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? And getting back to that bromo seltzer comment, knowing you the way I know you today, I think your mother was probably taking a few of those after a rough day with Mickey Jr. Would that be correct?
Well, I've always been a little bit hyperactive, I guess you could say.
Okay. So tons of uses today, Mickey. And I would imagine that this is a product that is certainly in demand, rising demand. We've probably seen this increase quite exponentially over the past few years. Is that correct?
Well, it has increased, I wouldn't say exponentially, but strong growth for years and years, especially perhaps in the last 20, 30 years for flame retardants as plastics become of more and more use in our society. So the world's major user, makes sense, it would be China. The U.S. is not far behind Western Europe, so industrialized countries are the users. Our normal source for production and consumption would be the USGS, but in the late 2000s, USGS came in and ceased coverage on things such as chlorine and bromine and probably iodine, too, which we'll address next time. But the latest figures I got was a little bit more than 500,000 tons were produced in 2007.
Where does a lot of this production come from, Mickey? Where are the areas of the world in which there is a lot of production of bromine? And is there an investable story here for listeners?
Well, there's three main production areas, and I didn't quite know this. I would have thought it was from brines in the Great Salt Lake of the U.S., but it's actually from oil field brines in southern Arkansas in the Jurassic Smackover Formation, produces 40% of the world's bromine. And that's been in production since 1957, so somewhere on the order of 2,500 meters deep. Other production, significant producers include China and Israel with Dead Sea brines. Then you have a few other countries such as India, Ukraine, Korea, etc. This is, at least in the United States, this is basically a cartel. There are two corporations, Albemarle Corp and Chemtura Corp, and they're both located in Arkansas. So these are integrated bromine producers. There is no play here. If you take China, U.S., and Israel, this basically functions as some sort of oligopoly. And so it's not something, as with most of these brine sort of minerals, there's really no room for juniors in this industry.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that. No, Mickey, we're going to do it all over again in a couple of weeks, of course. What do you want to do now? Oh, you mentioned iodine, didn't you?
Yes, and that's the last halogen on the periodic table of any consequence. So iodine is a very important mineral and has had various sources over the years. So we'll delve into iodine and be done with the halogen group of elements.
Okay, sounds good. Mickey, thank you very much for this, and we'll do it all over again in 2 weeks' time.
I look forward to it, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and at kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.